Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Happy Easter. Holy Saturday, the day after Good Friday. Christ is risen. What this should mean to your health. I'm going to draw, as always, from parallel universes to make hopefully a coherent point to you in your quest for radiant health or in your journey out of disease. What does this have to do with the resurrection? I think it has everything to do with the resurrection. The resurrection of Christ, a point we won't belabor. We are all aware of this as Christians. Picture number one. Go to picture number one. Let the pictures tell the story. The life of Jesus Christ. If you're new to the show, get to the website straighttalk.cc, not .com, .cc with two T's. Go to the website. If not, just imagine the agony in the garden, the night before the crucifixion. This is an artist's rendition of it. I want you to take a look. And of course, these renditions change throughout the centuries. 900 A.D., 1,000, 1,100, 1,200, 1,300, 1,400. The Renaissance, post-Renaissance, contemporary. Fascinating to look at the world's version of the life of Christ and his sufferings, his agonies, over the millennia. And those artists presenting a different slant as the consciousness of the cultures changed. By the time we get to the Renaissance, Jesus was a muscular man dying on the cross. Far, far different in contrast to that two-dimensional flat image of the Middle Ages. Take a look at picture number one. There's Christ in the agony of the garden. Keep in mind, this has everything to do with your health. And I'll draw the relationship shortly. Your disease. And I'll draw the relationship shortly. To me, it's what Easter should include to you. Part of how you should see it in your life, I offer you today. There's a man, a gifted man, who is God, but also man. Born gifted, paranormal, of course. Wise enough to hold the attention of the highest legions of religion of his time. And yet, at the relatively young age of 33 years old, finds himself in a garden at the foot of Mount Zion, Mount Olive. That garden at the foot of Mount Olive in Jerusalem, I believe. He finds himself contemplating the torture he is about to endure. And I don't think it's presumptuous to say that as man, in that he suffered, this is Jesus as man at the moment. The God in Jesus is not suffering because he is above that, because his faith is so great. But this is the man suffering. Thus the artist's rendition of the angel. The angel appearing to Jesus. Did the angel appear, or did Jesus call upon the heavens? I ask you, is it consistent with the meaning of Christ that that angel would appear? Or is it more consistent with the meaning of Christ as it relates to your disease today, your symptom, the rut you're in, the trap, the middle age menopause. No, I mean the one that at 50 or 60 makes you ask yourself or makes you consider the number of mistakes you've made, the amount of forgiveness you've had to find for yourself, and asks you what the next 20 or 30 years will be like. In that moment, in that agonizing moment, I'm going to suggest to you that through an act of faith, through a trained, deliberate, skillful, paranormally efficient act of faith, he calls upon the heavens to materialize his help. That's not a wish. That is an act of faith. That angel sits there in result to Christ's act of faith. He is lost. He is afraid. He knows what's going to happen to him. And he is asking himself, and again, I emphasize, this is not too presumptuous on my part to suggest that he is asking himself, amidst everything that I've been given, why do I have to suffer for them? Why do I have to die for their sins? I would ask you to interpret that as, why do I have to suffer to offer them a future and the possibility of eternity, of getting on the other side of their hang-ups, of their petty, stupid, moronic little addictions, their vices, their illnesses, their insanities, their weaknesses? Why do I have to suffer to offer them a possibility of getting on the other side of that, of transcending that? Why do I have to go through this act? And he asked for faith. He asked for help. And because he was skilled, because he was transcendent, because he was accomplished, because he had trained himself, don't you think it's reasonable? Doesn't it give it more meaning? If Christ evolved over those 33 years, in that we are being offered a template, we as humble humans are being offered a template, a relationship with something we can relate to so that we can deal with our pain. So there's that angel in the agony of the garden. And Christ has a choice. And that choice in the garden of, it's Gethsemane. Gethsemane. Don't correct me, please, if I didn't say that right. I'll figure it out eventually myself. He, in fact, has a free choice. And what does he choose to do? He chooses to absorb his beating. Because only then can he transcend. And that's the thing. You watch people when they're sick. You watch people when they have a symptom. And what do? They fight it. They fight it. I don't want to be sick. This shouldn't have happened to me. I shouldn't be going blind. I shouldn't be growing a brain tumor. I shouldn't be out of work for 6 months because of my back pain. I shouldn't have sagging skin. My buttocks shouldn't be dropping a millimeter or two and showing ugly lines. I shouldn't be on the toilet for an hour or two in the morning because my friends are out playing tennis and I'm trying to have my bowel movement. I shouldn't have the flu. I shouldn't have to spend all this money on my health. That's what people do. And that's what people do over trivia. Trivia. Low back pain is trivia. Unless, of course, you had it to the point where you want to blow your brains out. And I've certainly seen that occasionally. But by and large, most people's aches and pains and symptoms and this and that and the other thing, they're trivia. A good tour to the Middle East, a good toward some of the countries of Africa or South America would remedy most people's temper tantrums at what they endure. But this isn't my point. My point is, people stamp their feet. It's the first great, great mistake you make. And you say you don't, but you do. And that's what it is to be human. And that's why the agony in the garden is such an important thing to take a look at. Because Jesus, who is certainly God, who certainly rose from the dead, I'm a literalist. If you say to me, Moses lived to 900, I believe Moses lived to 900. I don't believe that they didn't count right back then. I don't believe that the translations are off. I believe he lived to 900. So if you tell me Christ rose from the dead, if that's what the New Testament states, I believe he rose from the dead, and he appeared in flesh. Now, to do that, you have to pass through Go. Because if Jesus was to spend his evening stamping his feet about what he was going to do, I assure you, there would be no resurrection. And see, this is my point today. What does Christ and the resurrection have to do with your health? Everything. Because that last week, and especially those last few days, are templates for you and for me and for all of us and for the world, so that they can understand how to deal with their pain. And this is what it comes down to. I really don't want to discuss this. I have, and maybe that's my own temper tantrum, a real distaste for having to do this as a doctor. I do. I really don't want to hear about your problems. A part of me is so uninterested. What a terrible thing to say. I'm interested in science. I'm interested in how your heart's working and how it's reflexing to your intestines. I'm interested in the scientist. I'm interested in the cell, in the biology of the cell. But I'm interested in delivering to you a service. And that service is about teaching you how to journey through the cells of your diseased or symptomatic organ so that you can transcend it and expand and find out before you die what you came here to do. And as much as I'm interested in it, I always run smack into the middle of your temper tantrum. Now, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Yeah, it's about that. We're human. We are human. So you have to be patient. There's no two ways about that. You have to be patient to a point. So there's the agony of the garden. Now, from the agony of the garden to the crucifixion to the resurrection. Go to picture number 3. Just take a moment. Agony in the Garden, Franz Schwartz. I don't know who Franz Schwartz is other than an artist. But look at that one. Look at that rendition. A little more chilling, don't you think? Look at picture number 2. I don't even know who did that one. That's some darn good graffiti. No, it's not. That's another rendition. Why is Jesus always hugging an angel? Why are they depicting that? And is that a man angel or a woman angel? Well, I don't know. I'm sure there are opinions out there, but the point is, we all have to draw upon something as a source of faith if we're going to transcend. I want you to hold that, because I'm going to make a claim to you. The Jesus story is a template for us, right? No one's going to argue that in their right Christian mind. But I want to turn that into something even more relevant than, as far as I'm concerned, I normally hear explained.